It's time for the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It's Wednesday, January 11th, 2023. Well, in our marine weather forecast, we had a little bit of a break yesterday, but we have a series of low pressure systems. They're going to be moving through our area this week, so just expect some stormy weather over the next few days. The Columbia River Bar remains on yellow status for ships, which means that some vessels may be asked to wait until conditions calm down out there. We have a small craft advisory today, and we have a gale watch for tonight through tomorrow morning. And today's marine weather forecast, southeast winds, 20 to 25 knots, wind waves southeast, 5 feet high at 6 seconds apart, west swells 9 to 10 feet at 11 seconds. That's a bit more calm than we've seen lately, and rain is in the forecast at times. And today we're going to be talking about kind of a nice thing that I saw on the river, two ships meeting and passing one another, and that there was more than meets the eye to that. It's actually kind of a very carefully planned maneuver when ships meet and pass on the river. So we'll talk about that in just a minute. On today's ship schedule, we have 7 inbounders, we have 4 outbounders, and we have 6 vessels anchored in the river near Astoria. If you'd like to see today's ship schedule, you'll find it on my website at shipreport.net. I'll also post a link to the podcast of this program and many others, and also the ship schedule on my Ship Report Facebook page. Well, we had a kind of a calm day yesterday, and so in this break between storms until the next one arrives, I thought I would stop talking about the weather for a minute and talk about something really lovely and very maritime that I saw yesterday on the river. I saw the neatest thing yesterday evening in Astoria as I was driving home. It was twilight, so it was that magical time when there's still some daylight, but ships have their lights on, which creates this kind of lovely effect with their lighting and the fading light. And I saw a container ship and a bulk carrier meet and pass by one another in the ship channel, just downriver from the Astoria Megler Bridge. I found a safe spot to pull over, and I just sat there and watched. Both ships were moving slowly and gracefully glided past one another as they made their way on the river, the bulk carrier heading out to sea and the container ship heading upriver to Portland. It was really magical to watch, and so I just sat there and took it in and wished both ships good journeys, especially wherever our outbounder was headed out into the ocean. It made me think about the phenomenon, though, of ships meeting and passing on the river, and how carefully planned this is, actually, along with other movement that ships do on the river, so that they have a safe transit when they're on the Columbia. So to explain, ships traveling on our river, it's not just like you and me getting in our cars at our respective homes and saying, oh, I think I'll drive to Portland today, and then just assuming that we'll adjust on the fly to whatever traffic there is and whatever vehicles are on the road at the same time that we are. But the river is different. It's one not-so-wide road made of water, and it's pretty winding in its course between, say, the mouth of the river and Portland. A Columbia River pilot once told me that there are about 100 course changes for a ship to make between Astoria and Portland, and so it's not a matter of just keeping the ship traveling in a straight line in the channel. And if you look at the ships traveling between Astoria and the mouth of the river, the Columbia River Bar, you'll see that they make a wide curve. The channel is not a straight line between Astoria and the ocean. And so there's a lot of adjusting that happens there, and a lot of skill that goes into it, and a lot of experience. So the channel is only about 600 feet wide, not a lot of room when you're dealing with these big ships. So overall, there are places that are good and safe as possible for ships to meet and pass one another on the river, such as the area where I saw these two ships pass. And then there are places where you don't want two ships to meet, where the river is narrow and perhaps there's a curve. So ship transits, departures, and arrivals are timed carefully to ensure that two ships are not encountering one another at the same time in a dangerous place. Now, why does this matter if there's enough water under the ship and the channel is wider than the two ships are? Well, that's because ships in a narrow channel, which we have here, can behave differently than they do out in the open sea. It's because of the physics of water, and it means that ships can start doing strange things when they're in confined spaces where there's a limited amount of depth and water around them. Here are some of the quirky things that ships and their pilots and officers have to deal with in any ship channel. Now, these are definitions. These are some terms I'm going to share with you, and I found them on a very interesting maritime website called Marine Insight. They have a lot of really cool stuff there. One of them is called the squat effect. Now, this is really interesting. When a ship moves through shallow water, which is what we have in the channel compared to out in the ocean and compared to the huge size of these ships, some of the water displaced, because these are displacement hulls, so they push a weight of water equal to their own weight out of the way as they move through the water. That's a huge thing. So the displaced water rushes under the vessel and rises again at the stern. This decreases the upward pressure on the hull, making the ship sink deeper in the water than normal and slowing it down. This is the squat effect, and it increases with the speed of the vessel. So, ships that are traveling on the river, they can't go too fast for a number of reasons, but one of them is that they start sinking down in the water, and if they sink too far down, they could touch bottom. So that's one thing. Then there's something else called bank effect. Bank effect refers to the tendency of the ship's stern, the very back of it, to swing towards the near bank when the ship is operating in a river or restricted waterway. So if you're a pilot or a helmsperson on a ship like that, in that situation, you got to kind of counteract and expect that effect to happen. Then there's the bank cushion effect. When the ship is near to the bank, the side of the channel, the water is forced between the narrowing gap between the ship's bow and the bank. And this water tends to pile up on the starboard side of the ship, causing the ship to sheer away from the bank. So, you might imagine that knowing how to steer well in this kind of situation is paramount. And it's one of the amazing skills that pilots have, along with a lot of experience. With all these odd forces moving the ship around in unusual ways in an enclosed area like a ship channel in a river, you really have to know what you're doing. Now, a good example of this is in Texas, where there is a very famous waterway called the Houston Ship Channel, which takes ships between Houston and the Gulf of Mexico. It's pretty narrow, and as a result, in order to safely transit the channel, marine pilots there do a crazy-sounding maneuver called the Texas Chicken, which I talk about every now and then when I have a chance because it's just so much fun to talk about, and what a great name. Now, without getting too much into explaining things that, to be honest, I don't fully understand here, in order to take advantage of the fluid dynamics in the Houston Ship Channel, two ships that are approaching one another and needing to pass have to essentially aim right at one another like they're going to collide head-on and then divert at the last minute to avoid a collision. I interviewed a Houston ship pilot once who expressed kind of a bit of delight at alarming some ship captains who had never been to Houston before when they do the Texas Chicken. It's quite effective, and they've been doing it for years without problems, but I guess it's a little unnerving to experience if you've never been through it before. You've been listening to The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.